is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
MJ Morning Show.
Rock and roll. Showtime.
Man, the Rays could have done it last night. They could have put this thing away. We all thought that the momentum was there and they would do it, and I believe every single one of us was wrong. We thought the Rays would have done it. We thought the Rays could have done it. We thought we'd be talking about the Rays off to the World Series, but it is prolonged. Unless this is going to be one of those occasions where a team battles back from a 3-0 deficit in a championship series. Yes, Fester?
The Rays were that close. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That close.
Yeah. Well,
I was in bed at the end of the game. I didn't make it to the
very end.
I put it in there like the sixth inning. I was like, good luck, boys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I made it to the very, very end and just disappointing because that would have been nice for a four-game sweep and then on to the World Series, but
at least we saw Randy Arozarena with an amazing, beautiful home run swing.
We did. So the deal is Game 5 is going to be today. Oh, another one of these
5:07. I like this one. This is a little better.
No, you got to have a 7 o'clock game. 7 o'clock is good. 7:07, 7:21 first pitch.
Wait, that's a small window.
The Rays have to lose tonight because tomorrow's game is scheduled at 6:07 if necessary. That's a much better time for me.
All right, so the Rays did not clinch it last night. So Game 5, Rays losing, of course, to the Astros 4-3. So it was pretty close, but the Astros, as I had speculated yesterday, we might see a survivalist attitude, fight or flight, and the Astros really did punch back yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers, on the other hand, they won 15-3. They set a record in postseason, 11 runs in one in the first inning.
What the hell is that? First inning, 11 runs in the first inning, including a grand slam. Yeah.
The Braves should have just went home.
Look at my kid's T-ball team. It's like 27-2 after the first inning.
We're just getting rolling. It's a busy, busy Thursday. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Oh, and do you know what the computer question of the day is?
No.
The computer question of the day. We'll get to that coming up. It's the MJ Morning Show. It's MJ, it's Froggy, it's Fester. We're joined by Roxanne, 6:08 on a Thursday. And again, Rays Game 5. Can they put it away tonight? I sure as heck hope so. But now the Astros got some mojo momentum going on here, so always hate to see that. But who the heck knows what's going to happen? Any given Thursday, you know what they say.
That's exactly
the expression. Yeah. I hear that all the time.
Any given Thursday,
I love that movie.
Oh, boy. Oh, warning. Warning, warning, warning. Do not sanitize your mail-in ballots by putting them in the microwave. Did you see this?
Oh, my gosh.
Do they burn?
Well, I guess California officials, they warn you of everything out there. Everything. Everything causes cancer. Those stickers or labels that we see on products we buy, known by the state of California to kill you in 3.5 seconds flat. California officials are assuring their constituents that voting by mail is perfectly safe from the coronavirus. Voters do not have to worry about contracting COVID from their mail-in ballots. This is according to the Registrar of Voters in Sacramento County. So I guess, has there been some fear expressed that, oh, if we get our mail-in ballots in the mail, they could have coronavirus all over?
Didn't we have a story earlier in the week that it can live on paper products for like 24 hours or 24 days?
No,
or
it was on currency.
For a month.
It was 28 days of coronavirus could live on currency, but it was more if it was the plastic banknotes, because some countries internationally, they use a polymer or a plasticky banknote, and researchers in Australia said maybe 28 days. But touchscreens on hard surfaces, not porous, the coronavirus, they say, can live a whole lot longer than a normal virus, even the regular flu.
Should you be allowed to vote if you're putting your ballot in the microwave?
That's not against the law.
At least one ballot showed signs that it had been microwaved. So, did it start burning? Were there like...
No, you can't. I thought you could put paper in a microwave.
Well, I think you
can. How long will it take?
I think you can put certain paper, like a microwave popcorn bag. I think you put that in the microwave.
Paper towel if you go in the microwave.
Roxanne, can you put microwave popcorn bags in the microwave?
Yes.
Can you do that?
That is allowed.
Yeah. But in California, they, I guess, determined that one of the ballots looked burned, and they assumed or they deduced that somebody put the ballot in the microwave, possibly to sanitize it from COVID. And they're saying, do not try to sanitize your ballots in the microwave.
How awesome would it be if they actually mailed the ballots out written on the side of a microwave popcorn bag? You have a stack, take your time, vote, mail the bag back.
Like a dual purpose, a vessel for the popcorn and then also being able to reuse it, right?
Be a little greasy, I think.
A little greasy, yeah, exactly.
You can do the early voting on Monday. It starts
in Florida,
Hillsborough County, Florida.
Yeah, in Florida. So, we talked about this. I've always been a day of voter.
Oh, yeah, so you can wait too. 17 lines or hours in line.
To get the sticker.
Forget that.
My polling place is Christ the King, South Tampa. And my experience there historically has been that there's never a line
not
more than...
Not this year, buddy.
Yeah, this year's going to be a big year.
Not this year.
Well, again, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to be voting this year.
I feel like it's going to be the same as it always is because people are doing early voting and they're sending their ballots in and vote by mail. So maybe it'll just be like it usually is.
Do you guys know, I kind of teased something, the computer question of the day. Do you know what I'm referring to? Anybody?
No clue.
I've got a computer tidbit that I think is extremely urgent that everybody needs to pay attention to because everybody uses computers. So I would highly recommend that you stay tuned. The MJ computer tidbit of the day that could be very, very crucial to not frigging up your life. How's that for a teaser?
I'm teased.
That's coming up next. It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105. We be back.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Hopefully the Rays will put it away tonight with Game 5. Could not do it with the sweep with four games last night as the Astros clawed back. Another big story today, we'll get into it later on, is Melania Trump confirmed that she was positive for coronavirus, which we already knew that, but I think the story is more that now she's tested negative. But the other big item to come out of that was that they confirmed, and you kind of assume this, that their teenage son, Barron, 14 years old, that he also was positive for coronavirus, but he was asymptomatic.
Right, and Melania said she did feel really bad for a couple days there, the body aches, and she did a totally different approach.
Right.
She didn't do any of the medicines that Trump did, but rather just went the natural, holistic kind
of thing. The president got this cocktail. He got this Regeneron experimental, non-FDA-approved cocktail, which leads you to believe were doctors really worried, because allegedly he was taken to Walter Reed because he had trouble breathing on that Friday, so we'll see.
It sounds like Melania just had a couple of glasses of orange juice and some broccoli.
That's it.
Better. Yeah. Chicken noodle soup.
She had an emergency. That's what she took.
Z-pack.
What did you say wrong?
A Z-pack, right? Isn't that what they call when you have a cold?
Well, no. Not a cold. No, there's no cure for the common cold. A Z-pack
is that then?
A Z-pack is azithromycin, which is an antibiotic.
Penicillin or antibiotic.
Of course you know that.
Yeah. That's common knowledge, Froggy. I'm a nerd. I know what a Z-pack is.
Froggy doesn't know what a Z-pack is. That's more surprising.
Z-pack. It's not what it is. Z-pack.
This is the first time she's really publicly said anything about Barron.
Fine. Are you going to also call me a nerd with my little computer tip of the day?
Oh, the tidbit, you mean?
What a nerd.
Yeah, Fester's got a problem with me saying tidbit.
Well, no. Who the hell says tidbit?
Well, no, you say, I have an urgent tidbit.
It's an oxymoron.
So you're saying that urgent and tidbit don't go together, is that it?
No, it doesn't. But what do you have?
If you drop off a laptop for repair at a computer store, and there's some really sensitive crap on that sucker, it might behoove you to pick up that laptop.
That's your tidbit.
Look, Fester's got his, I'm in a smoking jacket with a pipe thinking look on right now.
I have to admit, that's some pretty solid advice.
Or maybe most obvious is least obvious, and if you have some really dangerous material on your laptop, you should drop it off and never go back. And hope for the best.
No, that's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Nothing's working. Yeah, yeah. Nothing's working.
Of course, we're talking about the Hunter Biden deal and the New York Post yesterday morning getting a hold of the hard drive.
Hard to find that story.
Well,
I didn't even know about it.
Oh, this is a crazy story. And I'm not going to get into the politics of the whole story because don't feel like it. But there's a couple of important things here. If you've got really sensitive stuff, you might want to pick up your laptop so it's not, like, forfeited. And that's what happened. Apparently, it might have been Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. And there's a whole controversy over this Burisma thing in the Ukraine. I'm not getting into those deets. But he drops off a computer, apparently had water damage. It was a MacBook Pro. And he dropped it off at a computer store in Delaware to get fixed and never picked it up. And then the computer store owner starts going through the computer and finds out that it must have belonged to Biden because all kinds of emails in there regarding Hunter Biden and the vice president. There's a lot of sensitive crap in there.
Computers at computer stores have got to be like storage units where if you don't pay for it after a while, they own it.
It's like Storage Wars. Yep, exactly.
I love it had water damage. It's almost like Hunter may have tried to sink it first, and that didn't work. And said, "I'll just drop it off here and not deal with it."
I don't know what the heck the deal is.
Burn that thing! What are you doing?
You guys are way off base. They've released pictures, and there's selfies of Hunter in a bathtub.
Ew. Well, it's supposed
to get his computer.
It's supposed to get even worse than that. So the computer was dropped off at this repair store in Delaware back in April of 2019, and there was a Bo Biden Foundation sticker on the outside of the computer.
That was the clue.
The shop owner said he couldn't positively identify Hunter Biden as the guy that dropped off the computer.
Because he can't see that well.
Well, the bottom line is, it was either him or somebody very close to him, but then they abandoned the computer, and it turns out there's all kinds of sensitive emails which are problematic. The New York Post gets a hold of the hard drive because the owner of the computer store gave the original computer to the feds, I guess called the FBI, and they got the computer, and this is like last December. The computer was dropped off in April of 2019. The feds got the computer in December of 2019, apparently, but the owner of the computer store made a copy of the hard drive. So he made a copy, and the New York Post was given the hard drive recently by, I think it was Rudy Giuliani's lawyer.
Wow.
Is what happened. Yeah.
Cashed in.
Wow.
And if you have this story from the New York Post, and you've tried to post it on Facebook or Twitter, you could have your account disabled on Twitter. They did that to Kayleigh McEnany.
See, that's wrong.
Right.
Now, you might not like Trump. You might not like Biden. Whatever side you're on here, that's a news story. Facebook and Twitter should not block an actual news story. I would say the same thing if it was a Biden story that was smacking Trump. If they had Trump under some kind of suspicion. It's a news story, and Twitter and Facebook should not have blocked the story, regardless of party, regardless of Democrat, Republican.
The best part of this story hasn't even been dropped yet.
Well, you're talking about the 12-minute video? Yeah.
That's an pre-election day bomb coming.
Well, this is what you call an October surprise.
Right.
And this was planned. There's a reason why this hard drive was given to the New York Post here in October.
They've just been waiting.
They've been waiting to drop this thing. It's an October surprise. And allegedly, there's a raunchy 12-minute video that apparently shows Hunter Biden smoking crack and engaging in a sex act with an unidentified woman.
What?
Yeah.
Which is
I haven't even read the story yet. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
And then there are other sexually explicit images allegedly on this hard drive. So are those coming out like 2 days from now or just before the election?
Boy, Eric and Don Jr. seem so lame compared to Hunter.
I bet you know what Joe said.
Come on, man. Hey, man, what are you doing, man?
And now we understand why there's a behavioral pattern here. Hunter's dropping things off and forgetting to pick them up. Jeez. It makes sense.
He's all cracked out at one point. Listen, it's not a secret. He's confronted, he's talked about, he's had drug and alcohol problems and all kinds of issues. But again, the underlying theme here, folks, is if you drop off a computer and it's got really sensitive stuff on it, go ahead and pick that thing up from the repair shop and don't let that thing hang. 6:34, it's the MJ Morning Show. It is a Thursday morning. This is Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
One other thing on that Hunter Biden story and the laptop, which was abandoned at this computer store, and all of the trove of apparently video and pictures and emails that have emerged from this thing. Jack Dorsey from Twitter, he said that it should not have happened, the blocking of the story on Twitter. Now, I haven't heard anything official from Facebook, but of course, Roxanne brought up a short time ago that Twitter and Facebook both blocked that story from people sharing it. And Jack Dorsey, the CEO, just known as Jack, he's at Jack on Twitter. He said that was handled completely wrong. And you shouldn't block someone from sharing a legitimate news story from a real news source.
And of course, the people at Twitter are saying they did it because of Twitter's hacking policy, which I don't know if it's been updated. I can think of examples over the years where hacked materials are certainly allowed to be circulated on Twitter.
This is not a hack. This was...
Yeah, nothing was hacked here.
Yeah, this left the laptop, and the laptop was accessed, and this information... So it's not a hack.
Yeah.
But, even Jack is saying it's not a hack. Not a Jack hack. Not a hack, Jack. He's saying, yeah, they handled it incorrectly.
So the video of Biden smoking crack was not a hack, according to Jack.
According to Jack. Sound like Jesse Jackson over there. You know, Jesse Jackson with all his rhymes, right?
I wish I could rhyme that well.
the Disney story. I had a bunch of people send this to me. I was like, hey, MJ, you see this thing? And I did. I had this in the pile for yesterday's show, and I just didn't get around to it. And, the guy's not in trouble. Guy brings an AR-15 and a handgun to Disney, and he's not in trouble. So what are the details here? The story is a guy from Florida, right here, guy from Palm Beach Gardens over on the other side of the state. My parents live in Palm Beach Gardens. And this guy on a family vacation, I don't see his name. I don't think he was identified. I don't see the name of the individual, but you got to love this. The guy brings along an AR-15 and a 9mm handgun and a little stash of ammunition on his Disney family vacation due to fears over some of the recent protests that have occurred. Guy's 43 years old, checks into the Polynesian Village. Incidentally, that was the first hotel that I ever stayed in as a kid.
Oh.
Back in the 1970s, we stayed at the Polynesian.
Back in my day.
Shut up.
That place was around all the way back then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing, the Contemporary. Ooh, where the monorail goes right through the hotel.
Contemporary now.
Yeah, I stayed in both those places probably when I was 8, 9, 10 years old.
Very hoity-toity.
Yeah.
Back then.
A little schnit.
Back in the day, absolutely. So this guy shows up, and he's got his guns. He's got an AR-15, an ammo stash. He's got his 9mm, and it's stuffed inside a tennis bag. This is over Labor Day weekend. The story's just coming out. And it was discovered because the bellhop, the bellman who was handling their bags, he realized, wow, this is pretty heavy. But wait a minute. Did he unzip it? Well, this is a heavy... Oh, let me see what this guy has in the bag. I don't see anything that, like, the guns were hanging out of the bag. It seems that the bell dude opened up the bag to see what was in the bag.
That's exactly what he did.
Well, does it look like a tennis racket, sir?
It's the new AR-15 from Spalding. Or head. I don't know tennis.
It was very heavy. The guy obviously could tell by picking it up something metal was in there. I don't know if he was necessarily thought an AR-15 was in there.
That bellman was just curious what the hell was in the bag. And I don't think that bell hops ought to be opening up guests' luggage to see what's in there.
Well,
he notified the manager and they called the sheriff's office. So why is he, there's no trouble here? I mean, he legally owns the gun.
Yeah, so that's the story.
And he has a permit.
Is the guy in trouble? He's not. He's got a concealed weapons permit. Totally valid. They checked it out. And there's nothing illegal.
Oh, great.
But Disney doesn't like that going on in their property.
Disney, as a private facility, as Disney is private property, they can say, hey, we don't want guns on our property. Turns out they didn't throw the family out. The Orange County sheriffs who were called, they gave the guns back to the guy because no law was broken here. And Disney security held the guy's guns at Disney security and then gave them back after the family vacation was over.
In addition to the rifle or the AR-15, he had three magazines,
yep,
30 rounds each, and two 9mm magazines with 10 rounds each.
He had a shoulder-mounted RPG.
No. Listen, that under the sea ride can get real right. Dangerous.
You never know how the character breakfast is going to turn out at Atlanta.
Idiot.
Two things.
What if Dumbo attacks? You know?
I know. I mean, seriously, what are you doing?
What the hell did he think was going to happen at Disney World? I understand civil unrest, but at Disney, what did he think was going to happen? Two, if the bellman reaches for that bag, isn't that the one you say, no, I got that one. I'll get that one.
Not my racket. Yeah. Not my tennis racket.
No.
I'll take that up myself.
Very, very
no
sensitive
problem.
Tennis racket in that tennis bag.
My tennis racket.
Yeah, the guy did nothing wrong, so there were no charges. And folks are like, hey, MJ, you see this? Can you believe? No, I can't believe it because the guy did nothing wrong. He legitimately and lawfully had the guns, and it just freaked Disney out.
And the funny thing is his explanation for having the guns with him.
Yeah.
He hates Pluto.
He wanted to shoot everything, and it's a small world.
That really I could see that froggy actually
just nonstop.
Now that you bring it up, Froggy, It's a Small World would be a shooting paradise.
Oh my god, nothing but targets.
Hey, you're going to Disney for a family vacation. What you gonna do now? I'm bringing my AR-15 and 9mm and a whole bunch of ammunition and a tennis bag.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Oh, all right. Oh,
that's lovely.
When you wish upon a star.
Could you have found a sleepier Disney song?
Dude, that's the Disney
that's
song,
the,
bro.
What are you, an idiot?
That's when
the
you
whole,
walk in.
That's the whole. No, that's the commercial after someone wins the World Series or the Super Bowl. Hey, Tom Brady, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now? I'm going to Disney World. That's the music they play.
They're say going to Disney
World. That's the exact same one.
I'm just saying, it's a little sleepy.
It's the one they use. Fester. All right, 6:50, MJ Morning Show. This is Q105, back in a minute.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
7 o'clock exactly. It's the MJ Morning Show, MJ Froggy Fester and Roxanne. You want to get a hold of any of us? And, you know, email's really cranking up. I love it. I had, like, five people sent me the story with the guy bringing the guns to Disney. Hey, MJ, you see this thing? Fester, your email's rocking. Froggy, Roxanne, you're getting stuff. If you want to drop us email on the all-new relaunch of the MJ Morning Show, just send it to MJ@MJMorningShow.com. Fester@MJMorningShow.com. Froggy@MJMorningShow.com. And, of course, Roxanne@MJMorningShow.com. We each have our own email. Like how I set that up, I'm technologically advanced.
You really are.
It only took you a week.
Dude, I had a lot of stuff going on. We just launched the show after a little hiatus.
Just saying.
A lot of stuff going on over here.
But thank you.
All right, so we asked you, I don't want to jinx things, but I guess we did, because I asked yesterday, would the Rays be able to put it away in four games and totally shut out the Astros? And we were all pretty much in agreement that they were going to do it. Do you think that the Astros have momentum and they're going to pull out a second win tonight? Or you think that the Rays can put this thing to sleep and head off to the World Series with today's game?
Of course we're pulling for the Rays to win.
Oh, well, that goes without saying, but what do you think is going to happen? There's a difference between what do you think is going to happen and, you know, not pulling for the Rays. Of course we're pulling for the Rays.
I think the Rays are going to sit back and look at the Dodgers game yesterday and score 20 in the first inning instead of the Dodgers' measly 11.
Oh, 11 runs in the first inning in that Braves-Dodgers game? Oh, that's child's play. I like it. We'll put 15 on the board, right?
Did you see one of the senators in the Senate hearing or for the new Supreme Court person?
Amy Coney Barrett.
That's it.
The new Supreme Court person. You mean the nominee, Amy Coney Barrett?
Whatevs.
Yeah.
You see he brought up the Houston Astros?
I missed that.
I think we had the clip at the bottom of the bar.
Do we have it?
Yeah, I saw it last night and read a report about it this morning. Calls him a bunch of... Well, you'll listen to him.
All right, let me listen to this thing. Here we go.
And I'd like to talk about the Houston Astros, who are miserable cheaters. sorry, Cornyn and Cruz, but both of the Texas senators sit on this committee. But I think all baseball fans know that the Houston Astros cheat. They steal signs. They bang on cans. they've done a whole bunch of miserable things historically, and they deserve to be punished probably more than they have been.
Well, what was the context of that?
I was talking baseball.
That was, so what does it have to do with a Supreme Court confirmation hearing?
I don't know this senator. He's Senator Ben Sasse?
He's been waiting for a platform to get this out.
Senator Ben Sasse.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. He's sassy. You sassy.
A Republican from Nebraska.
All right, so here is Roxanne's favorite story now. Detroit woman says that she woke up and a pastor was peeing on her on an airplane.
Ugh.
We have to put a disclaimer out there. Get past everything horrible that happened to her. That's traumatic. I feel awful for her. And we have to get to the point about the pastor peeing on the airplane in the wrong. Obviously, he was trying to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, all right. Now, this guy, apparently a well-known pastor from North Carolina, he's accused of peeing on a sleeping woman in the backseat of a Delta flight as she left Detroit. Or, no, she was going to Detroit from Las Vegas.
Was it Eli Gemstone?
Oh, that show is great.
The best.
That is the best.
We were just talking about it last night.
Oh,
when season
man,
two dropping?
I don't know, but Righteous Gemstones is just incredible. That's what, HBO?
HBO, and it's out of North Carolina. I think he's based out of North Carolina.
Oh, that thing. If you have not seen the first season of The Righteous Gemstones, and you've got like HBO Go or HBO Max, you got to watch it. Danny McBride, it's Eastbound.
He's great.
What's the character he played in Eastbound and Down? What's his face? Come on. Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is fantastic. What a show.
John Goodman's in
the
there.
The Righteous Gemstones is fantastic. Anyway, Alicia Beverly was in Vegas. And there's a whole Vegas deal. There are a lot of folks saying that, hey, is Vegas ever going to come back? We'll get into that later on. So they're on a red-eye flight. Everyone was asleep. And she said she was curled up in the back seat next to her sister when suddenly she woke up because she had the feeling of being urinated on. It felt warm, like the other side of me.
Cozy.
I felt something warm. In her haze, right at eye level, she saw something bizarre. I jump up and I see his private area out and I screamed and woke everybody up. By that time, I actually looked at him and I see him shake himself off.
Well,
and I'm like, this man just peed on me. It looked like there's a puddle of pee in the seats. She screamed, got the attention of everyone on the plane. The flight attendants come rushing, obviously. And it turns out it's a well-known pastor from North Carolina that just peed on the woman.
Oh, it's just Pastor Bob.
Does anyone in this room not know someone who has done that after a night of drinking too much or
peed on somebody?
Not on a plane, but peed in the wrong place.
We've known, for instance, one of our old producers on the MJ Morning Show, Joey B, he had sleeping issues. He used to take Ambien, and he would do the craziest things. And there are a lot of documented stories of people like getting in their cars and driving 200 miles on Ambien. Joey used to make full meals in the middle of the night, and he'd end up with like spaghetti and chicken parmesan in his bed when he woke up in the morning. I'm serious. I'm not making it up.
He did wake up with a full lasagna in his bed.
Exactly.
Okay, so the worst part of this whole story, the worst part,
yeah,
is it happened mid-flight. There was still like 2 hours left in the flight.
Oh, yeah.
And she was wet.
No. That's terrible.
That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, someone on that plane must have had some clothes that she could put on.
The pastor was taken into custody. The pastor was not charged yet. The FBI is investigating. And the pastor's camp has decided not to comment on the story so far, according to Fox in Detroit, Fox 2.
Just issuing a blessing.
Is that not bizarre?
Amen.
You are now free to move about the country.
No, you're now free to pee about the country, I think. Is that not bizarre?
Poor lady.
You gotta
He's
go.
He's gonna have PTSD when it comes to flying.
And it's a pastor, no less.
PTSD, yes. Roxanne?
P. I got
brow jokes.
PT. Did you just think
it's
of
a
that?
Fact. It's a fact.
Oh, that's pretty good. PTSD. What if it was the number two? I'm still fascinated by this pastor story. He must have had some kind of episode. I mean, this is a well-known North Carolina pastor that pees on a woman on a red-eye flight from Vegas to Detroit. I mean,
what do you do on red-eyes? You take a pill to go to sleep.
Well, but there's nothing in the story that he was on some kind of sleeping aid. Oh, I didn't see it because last I saw it said that the pastor, his camp was not commenting. So did you see something that he was on some kind of a sleeping aid?
I don't know if I just assumed that because...
Yeah, I didn't see it in the story.
Even if he didn't take a sleeping aid, even if it was just groggy, she was sitting in the last row of the plane, he obviously thought he made it all the way to the latrine.
So was he having an episode where he thought... Now, this happened when I was a kid. I've told the story on the air before. When I was like 8 years old, my mom was having like a card night. I mean, this is a long time ago. This is back in the 1970s. And my mom was having a card night with a bunch of her lady friends at our house. This was in Nanuet, New York, before we moved to Virginia Beach. And I don't know what they were playing cards.
Green knuckle and everybody.
And,
play euchre.
And I'm like 8 years old, 7 years old. And the story is that I walked all the way downstairs from the second floor. They were set up in the kitchen around the kitchen table. And I dropped my pants, and I started peeing on one of my mom's guests.
Ew, what a creep.
So, wait a minute. I actually did this myself at one point.
All right, not coming right. back here. According to Fox 2 Detroit.
I've never done it on an airplane on somebody, though, yes.
According to Fox 2 Detroit, according to sources, the pastor had an apparent reaction to a sleep aid.
Yes, overdosed on Flomax.
That's all it says.
All right.
I went out when Doug and I first started dating, and we went out with another girlfriend of mine, and so she had too much to drink.
You know where this is going.
So we were back at Doug's house. Doug and I go to bed, and so he goes out to the kitchen. He comes back, and he goes, Roxanne, I think your friend needs to use the restroom. I think your friend needs to use the restroom. And I'm like... Okay. And he goes, no, go check. And I go out there and she was peeing on his coffee table.
What?
That's a party. That's
Was he underneath it the table?
What?
She just didn't, I said she had a lot to drink, so she didn't know. She thought that was the bathroom.
So she was so blitzed?
She was sitting on the coffee
so
table.
She was totally like at a...
Pants down. She thought the coffee table was a toilet.
So she was so drunk, she had no idea what she was doing. That's the story.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. All right, 7:14, it's the MJ Morning Show. The other huge story regarding sports, other than the Rays, Florida football. And this weekend's game, the Gators game, canceled.
Yeah, the game against LSU is going to be pushed back to December. 14 players.
All right, I saw 19.
Okay.
Yeah, last I had was 19 players positive for COVID-19. All right, hold on to that thought. We'll talk about the Swamp and the head coach getting some crap for what he said. We'll explain. And he's since apologized. Coming up next, MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Hang on, folks.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Roxanne is still talking about the peeing pastor.
We all are still talking about
on
it.
On the flight. Well, you brought it up again. You can't get the story out of your head.
She's really disturbed by it.
And I guess I understand the story a little. For those that are just tuning in, we've been talking about this for like half an hour. There was a flight, ladies on a flight from Las Vegas to Detroit, and a guy ends up peeing on her. She was seated in the last row of this flight, and
he almost made it to the restroom.
It turns out that the man is a well-known pastor from North Carolina, and the element of the story that I didn't grasp initially was apparently he was further up in the airplane and was walking down the aisle. Might have thought that he made it to the bathroom, and he might have been under the influence of a sleeping aid or a sleeping pill.
May have opened an imaginary door.
He went all the way to the back of the plane, and at the last row, thought he might have been in the bathroom, and that's when he peed on the woman in the last row.
Overnight flights, dark in the plane.
And I still don't understand why there was not one person on that plane who's had some extra clothes in their carry-on did that they could share with her.
Did he, in his imagination, did he throw the latch on the door to lock it? You know?
I mean, how much does a woman look like a toilet?
All right.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't think that the last row looks like a restroom.
He just stumbled, made it there.
There's
obviously
a whole lot more room in the last row, believe it or not, than in that little restroom
true.
Area
you
in the
even
airplane.
Turn around in
all
there.
Right, 7:27. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. We're back. It's fantastic to have the MJ Morning Show back on the air. The feedback that we're getting from you, the listener, enormous. My cell phone is still buzzing every 10 minutes. People that I haven't heard from in years are texting me. Every contractor that helped me build my house back 15 years ago.
Hey, remember me, Rich?
Hey, I did your drywall. Remember me?
Put up your gutters.
Reconnecting.
Tell me when you're giving. I had one guy say, hey, let me know when you're giving away a car or truck.
I'm like, keep listening, sir. Yes.
Hey, keep listening to Q105. Keep listening. The Gators story, the coach is now apologizing. Because this soundbite is coming back to haunt Dan Mullen. We've got the bite. The story is now we've got 21 Gators players who are, and that's the latest stat, is that right, Roxanne?
Mm-hmm. 21 players now.
All right, we have 18 scholarship players and then 3 walk-ons, is that correct? Positive
yes.
for COVID-19.
Who cares about the walk-ons?
Yeah, I mean, seriously,
really.
The walk-ons.
Significant. What a bunch of Rudy Rudigers.
We've got real players here, people.
So the Gators ranked number 10. They will not, I repeat, if you think you're driving to the swamp this weekend, you're not. Yeah, the Gators, number 10 ranked, will not be taking on the Tigers, LSU, this weekend because of the coronavirus outbreak on the football team. I saw the story I had was 19 players tested positive. Roxanne, you're saying it's 18
plus. Now it's 21.
Now it's 21 with the 3 walk-ons.
Can I get 25? It's becoming an auction.
Yeah, the Gators were set to face off against LSU. This was supposed to be this weekend, 4 o'clock. And the game is now off. The game is postponed until further notice. I haven't seen a rescheduled date yet. But the Gators will not be able to play their rival in the SEC. That's SEC West. And they'll have to, count this as a bye week now, right?
Yeah, the SEC built in a bye week for something like
just
this.
Just in case?
They're going to play the game in December. So, but still, terrible situation. We have all those players infected and affected.
And then you've got Florida is supposed to host Missouri on October 24th. That game could also be in question.
Yeah.
Now, Vanderbilt, they had to postpone their game against the Missouri Tigers. There was a similar outbreak. 55 or 56 scholarship players.
Jeez.
Apparently had COVID-19.
Those smart Vanderbilt boys aren't smart enough to avoid the infection.
And then we get to Dan Mullen. We get to the coach, head coach of the Gators, and his little audio bite is kind of coming back to haunt him. He did apologize, and, well, listen to what he said. And, of course, we've got an uptick of COVID in 31-plus states. You've got positivity rates going up. You know, a lot of folks are asking the pros, the medical experts, are we seeing the second wave of COVID-19? Here's Dan Mullen, head coach Gators.
Crowd was certainly a factor in the game. I will certainly say that. I know our governor passed that rule, so certainly, hopefully, the university administration decides to let us pack the swamp for LSU next week. 100%, because that crowd was a major factor in the game. And so I certainly hope our university administration follows the governor. Our governor has passed a rule that we're allowed to pack the swamp. We have 90,000 in the swamp to give us that home field advantage that Texas A&M had today.
That's right.
You nuts?
Back to swamp.
Yeah. Guys, I disagree. I don't think he should have to apologize for that. He's trying to win football games.
He's a football coach. Yeah, he's not a scientist.
I think there's common sense that you probably don't want 90,000 people elbow to elbow, even though it's outdoors.
85, fine. 85,000.
Probably not a good idea. And then yesterday, Mullen apologized for those comments last weekend after the loss.
He's a football coach trying to get his fans riled up.
Yeah, he said that he respects the local health officials and didn't mean to offend anybody. But cancel your tailgating. The swamp is going to be closed this weekend in Gainesville.
Dan Mullen has to drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. Drain it.
But he didn't say, I want 88,000 people to get sick.
No,
he just said he
I want 90,000 people. Just roll the dice.
So why does he have to apologize?
Listen, I want life to get back to normal. I am dying for life to get back to normal. But putting 90,000 people up in Florida at a game in Gainesville, I just don't think it's a very good idea right now. And he obviously saw that it was insensitive or not smart, and he apologized yesterday. 7:32, it's the MJ Morning Show on Q105. 7:39, the MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ here, Froggy, Fester, Roxanne. Did anybody realize that the Billboard Music Awards were on TV last night? And does anyone care?
Those are still around?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
I have no idea what any award show is.
What Billboard won? And did they accept the award?
It's the 1-800-ASK-GARY billboard with Roz. I'd
like to thank everybody who supported me in the Billboard community.
I'm all scared and confused over here.
Don't be, Roz. Don't be.
You know what? I saw the commercial recently, and she's not saying scared anymore. She actually said scared.
Oh, well, then it's a fake commercial.
I saw Roz on the commercial just a couple of nights ago, and she actually said scared instead of scared.
Yeah, she's had that gig for a while. She's getting bougie.
Is that what it is? She's all bouge.
Yeah, she's been there like 15,
fancy,
20 years.
Fancy.
She's all bouge now is what she is. Before we get into IKEA, IKEA's got a scheme. And when I saw this, I'm like, really? All right, hold on. Did you also see that Elon Musk, the eccentric hole driller, flamethrower maker, Tesla, SpaceX guy, Elon Musk tweeted out that the Model S Tesla is going to drop in price. Did you guys see this?
God, I didn't want to know.
Is that the one with the roof that flies off?
No, that was the model.
That was the Y.
The Y. That was the Model Y. We talked about that last week, where one unit, apparently, they did not glue the roof on. A father and son go to pick it up at the Tesla dealership out in California. They're driving on one of the freeways, and the roof flew off. That was last week. Elon Musk tweeted yesterday that the Model S is going to be reduced in price. And see if you can figure this out. To $69,420.
He's appealing to a certain crowd.
$69,420. All right, so Roxanne, explain that to me, please.
Yeah, please.
Those numbers, numerology.
Explain the $69,420 price tag for the Tesla Model S.
Because 69 is, he's called that model sexy.
Okay.
So there's a little allusion to sex. And then I don't know the 420. I know what that 420 means, but I don't think, because you can probably smoke marijuana in the car because the car is being driven by the machine.
No, the car smokes weed for you.
Well, they figured it out. The 69, obviously a sexual reference. And then the 420 is a
marijuana reference.
Is a weed reference to the old adage, hey, it's 420, time to smoke a joint, whatever, right?
I think that's it, exactly.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, huh? And
clever.
I saw TechCrunch said, Elon Musk tweets the Model S will be priced at $69,420. Why? Because he's a child. That was the headline.
Yes. He's a brilliant child.
Yeah. He's literally Tesla of our generation.
7 billion people, and he's probably changing the world more than any of them. He's a child.
Certainly.
He's not a good public speaker.
You got to give him
as bright as he is.
You got to give him a lot of credit, though. All right, on to IKEA here quickly. I saw this, like, really? I like IKEA, and we have purchased plenty of IKEA things. Trust me. I've opened those flat boxes up. I've dealt with those damn dowels. I've dealt with those screws and the latch things that bring the corners together. I've done it all. I've opened the bags up to count and put my parts in piles to make sure everything is still there. IKEA announced that they're going to buy back used furniture.
Gross.
You just think of IKEA stuff as kind of disposable. You know, it's inexpensive. It's not like, we've got this family heirloom IKEA dresser.
This is great-grandma's couch.
Oh, my God.
From IKEA. It makes into a futon.
It was from 2012, just before she died. This is an antique. It's 8 years old. I don't. What do you think about this? Anyone? IKEA buying back furniture? They're trying to
How
do
much
this.
What's the return going to be?
All right, so here's the deal. Customers with as new, if something is as new, no scratches, will get 50% of the original price. So you buy, let's say, a little sleeper sofa, and let's say it was $500, you'll get $250.
In cash or store credit?
Store credit. Oh. Yeah, you're not going to walk out with cash. So, like, don't think you're going to steal IKEA furniture if you got a crack problem, and then go get the cash and then go buy your crack. That's not going to happen. So, if it's like as new, 50%, very good items with minor scratches will get 40%. What if this stuff is like totally trashed, smashed, gouged?
10 cents 30%? On the dollar.
Double a dozen Swedish meatballs. Here you go.
well used with several scratches will get 30% of original value. Yeah. And this is about IKEA wanting to do the full circle thing and the kind of an environmental thing. And it also breeds some loyalty. And then you get the credit for the store. So then you're going back and you're buying stuff at the store. So they're trying to keep it in a cycle here for multiple reasons.
All right.
Yeah. You'll get a voucher, no expiration date. IKEA said that anything that cannot be resold or recycled will be donated to charity. Oh, great. Hey, charity, here's this big piece of crap that we can't sell. Have fun.
Look, listen, I'm not mad at the idea.
I like IKEA. I really do. I'm not a huge fan of like the circuitous route where it feels like you're kind of trapped in a never-ending maze.
It's like a habit trail of crap you really don't need.
And that's true. You get to the houseware section, it's like I end up buying 7 spatulas that I don't need, you know?
They're not spatulas. They're called flugenschnudens.
Flugenschnudens.
They buy back spatulas.
Yeah, I want to sell back this spatula that I bought. A flugenschnugen. Is that what you said?
That's what the spatulas are called, yes.
7:45. It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Back in a minute. Hang on, folks.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Whenever I hear that song, I have the image of Tawny Kitaen, you know, on the hood of the Jaguar. What does she look like these days? I don't think I've seen a current picture.
She's got to be, how old is she, about 60-ish now? Does that sound right?
Maybe mid to late 50. Look it up, Tawny Kitaen.
She's she is...
Google it up.
She's a bush hog now.
She's 59 years old.
I said mid to late 50s. Look at that. Not quite 60. Is there a picture of her recently, what Tawny Kitaen looks like?
Well,
yeah, the first thing that comes up when you type her name into Google is the rise and fall of an 80s pinup model.
Of Tawny Kitaen.
Hasn't she done reality TV?
Was she like on The Housewives of something or other?
I don't know.
All right, Froggy with a major announcement. Folks, this will be the first one of these here at Q105. Of course, Froggy was famous for these. Froggy was hatching up these harebrained crazy schemes. And this will be the maiden voyage, the first time we're going to attempt this here at Q105, the MJ Morning Show. We're only in our second week of the return of the MJ Morning Show. And Froggy, I'll let you take the floor and make the big announcement here at 7:55 on a Thursday on the MJ Morning Show.
What's the announcement? I forgot. I'm just kidding. Tomorrow will be the first in almost 14 years... I think.
No.
12 years. How long have we been off the air?
8.
Oh, 8 years.
It's been 8 years. You can't even do simple math, man.
Sorry, I'm not good at math. The very first Froggy Fall concert series.
Ooh.
Because it's the fall.
I've got that jingle somewhere. I got to try to find that thing.
Where we had
Froggy
almost...
Froggy Fall concert series, right?
Thousands of people show up to the parking lot. We're not going to quite... I don't think we're allowed to do parking lot things yet here.
Well, we'll probably wait for COVID to end. That's number one. And then what is the Koger policy in the office park of, like, dropping cars from cranes onto a piano from 68 feet in the air?
I don't know. They have security here on a golf cart?
They got golf cart security. What are you guys doing with that crane over here?
And they've got some signs that say that is not allowed.
What? No dropping cars from cranes?
Well, how about jumping through rings of fire? How about getting attacked by dogs? Anything?
We did some apps. Roxanne, I don't know if you remember. Yeah, you did, because you used to listen to the old MJ Morning Show. We did some crazy crap in the parking lot over at FLZ on Gandhi. We did some nutty stuff.
Well, the ones who don't know the Froggy Fall concert series is I would perform a horrible song and then do a stunt. Or a big finale.
There'd be a huge finale and something nuts would happen.
And of course, as the concerts went on, more people would show up and bigger stunts would happen. happen, where the finale of the last one was dropping a car on the stage I performed on.
I love the froggy ring of fire.
That was dangerous.
We had a jingle for that.
Fire. Yeah, we had jingles for all of them.
So tell me about the song you're going to be performing.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
Well.
And is there a special grand finale special?
There will be a very special grand finale, which might get us in trouble.
You're going to smash your car into the studio windows.
God, why you gotta give it away? Right. No.
What are you gonna do?
But I'm not gonna tell you yet. I'm gonna perform. I have a new 80s group. You know, last time I did the concert series, I had my rock group, Goldie Wilson for Mayor.
That's right.
Right.
Now, has that been disbanded?
Disbanded. We have broken up. We're still friends, but Big Lou quit. So now
Big, what, the pressures are working at Sherwin-Williams and operating the...
It's too much.
The paint shaker is too much?
Shaking the paint affected his drumming.
Is Big Lou still at Sherwin-Williams?
Of course.
Awesome.
He's second shift manager.
Hey, do me a favor. Can you give me a good deal on Aura?
Of course.
I need to repaint some of the stuff. I need some black outdoor Aura, which I think is their top of the line stuff.
He'll give you friends and family discounts.
Oh, there is a for. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Give me Big Lou's number.
You gotta be nice to Big Lou.
I need like 3-4 gallons of Sherwin Williams Aura.
But now I have a new band, an 80s band, where we cover, where we do 80s music, style music, called.
What?
What's the name of the band? Oh. You know the band Flock of Seagulls? You remember that?
Yeah. I know. It's A Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, okay. Well, this is...
A Flock.
A School of Tadpoles. Okay? And that's the name of my new band. A School of Tadpoles.
That's a terrible name.
A School of Tadpoles?
It's better than A Flock of Seagulls.
They had the hair and everything.
Well, I'm going to have an outfit tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, I'm in with a special outfit.
Speaking of A Flock of Seagulls.
Yes.
I dated... For a couple of times, a young woman who was the girlfriend of one of the members of A Flock of Seagulls. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. While she so
no. She had already broken up with him, and then it turned out she worked at my radio station in Los Angeles at Pirate Radio. I was working with Scott Shannon at Pirate Radio 89, 90, 91. This is before. There we go, Froggy. Well, Flock of Seagulls. Yeah, before I came to Tampa to do the MJ and BJ show, then the MJ show, I was in Los Angeles, and I was in New York as well. But this was a young woman that was one of our phone ops, one of our phone screeners that answered all the calls of the radio station. And she was like, I don't even think Michelle knows about this one. But then I said, you know, probably not a good idea to date somebody at the radio station. So.
You said it.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah,
didn't like you know analyze her life and realize, okay, 3 months ago I was dating Flocks of Seagulls,
and then
now I'm dating Todd.
And then I met, this is crazy, and Michelle knows this story. Then I met a very attractive young woman at a station event, and she dumped me for Billy Idol.
Jesus Christ, what kind of a place is this?
I was dating her, and she said, I can't go out with you anymore. I'm dating Billy Idol.
So somebody dumped a Flock of Seagull for you, and then you got dumped for Billy Idol?
That's the score there,
didn't
man.
Didn't you get dumped for Dwight Yoakam, too?
No, there is a Dwight Yoakam story. He used to drive an El Camino in the Hollywood Hills, but he was a neighbor of a young woman that I had was friendly with. And I used to see him in the street all the time.
Okay, yeah, all right.
All right, so Froggy... can you give us a tip? What kind of song? Is it an original song?
Well, this is going to be an original song.
It's not a cover. Okay,
yeah,
so
no
it's
covers,
an original.
No covers.
And then you're going to have a huge finale tomorrow as well.
Yes, I will have a finale, and the song is about a certain member of the morning show.
Well, let me guess.
It's not about you.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be about Fester.
Oh, we have Roxanne here.
I don't think Froggy's picking on Roxanne.
No,
yet.
I wouldn't make a song about Roxanne unless it was a song about how lovely she is.
Oh, yeah. That's
Fester!
So nice.
What? My new song. You want me to give you the title?
What's the title?
It's called Fester's Breath.
I just now made the connection, too, between Tadpoles and Froggy. Just now. Jesus.
Welcome to the show, Roxanne. Good to see you.
So tomorrow, a school
your name for a few minutes.
Of Tadpoles makes their first...
That's okay. Fester's Breath right there.
And the title is called Fester's Breath?
Yes. Fester's Breath. Oh, jeez.
So you can imagine where we're going with this.
All right. What time are we going to do it tomorrow?
That's your show, buddy.
All right, so we'll do it around 8:30. How about that?
Sounds great.
Around 8:30, Froggy's big debut with the fall concert series back here on Q105 and the return of the MJ Morning Show.
Very good. You remember the name of the band?
It is... School of Tadpoles.
There you go.
School of Tadpoles. There we go. All right, 8:02. It's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105, and I got the Trip a Day song to win a 3-day family staycation for four to Legoland here in Florida. You want to listen for Summer of 69. Brian Adams. So you want to listen for Summer of 69, Brian Adams. Mason's going to play it sometime in the 5 o'clock hour when you hear it. Be the seventh caller at 800-990-1047. You'll win Q105's Trip a Day. It's a package worth over $1,000. Q105, it's the MJ Morning Show, 8:09, and got a little Michelle issue, which I'd like to maybe get you guys' opinion on. I might even call Michelle here in just a bit, so stand by. Tonight's going to be interesting. Quickly, TV tonight, you know what's going on. Not only are we going to have the Rays in Game 5, that's going to be a 5 o'clock game. So the game should be over. Well, it could leech into this next event, but you want to know why TV could be very interesting tonight?
Why?
Because of the dueling town hall meetings. This is kind of bizarre. So tonight was supposed to be the second presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And of course, Trump came down with COVID and the debate commission, they canceled the debate and this and that and that. And then they wanted to do the virtual debate. And remember, Trump said no. I want to do it in person. I don't want to do a virtual debate. I'm in a room on a TV screen, blah, blah, blah. So, canceled. When it was officially canceled, that's when a deal was put together for Joe Biden to do a town hall on ABC with George Snuffleupagus.
I love that little guy.
Yeah, George Stephanopoulos. I've got a picture with George Stephanopoulos. Have you seen it? Yeah, I ran into him at a restaurant. I say, hey, George, this is up in New York. I said, hey, George, can I get a picture real quick for my social media? He said, sure, he's a nice guy. So he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy. So George Stephanopoulos is going to be the moderator for this town hall with Biden tonight. And NBC put together a deal at the last minute to do a town hall with Trump tonight. Same time.
You know what they could do? They could just declare whoever has better ratings the winner.
That's
the president.
That's why this is so fascinating, because you know how obsessed Trump is with ratings.
You know who's going to have better ratings.
So who
is this? Is his idea?
One's going to be an old white man sitting on a stage. The other one's going to be an old white man yelling on the stage.
Orange man.
Tonight, this is what's amazing, is Joe Biden and Trump are going to go head to head. Biden's on ABC. And Trump is on NBC. Talk about must-see TV, NBC tonight.
Who gets better ratings?
Trump knows how to get ratings. Yeah, I mean, you can't take that from him.
Roxanne, who gets better ratings?
Well, Trump is going to, because he's been in that business. He knows how to get ratings.
But for all of you normal people.
And even if you don't like him, you might watch.
For everybody who doesn't give a crap about either town hall, Big Brother is on tonight
I'll be watching that.
See who wins Power of Veto, bitches.
What?
Big Brother?
Oh, so you're not watching any of that
stuff. This is Big Brother All-Star season. This is great. It's on tonight.
If you're going to watch the town hall, are you going to watch Biden live or Trump live? Are you going to TiVo or DVR the other?
There's a Tampa Mayor town hall at 7 o'clock with Mary Jane Caster and USF experts.
It's crazy. Is McManus going to be there?
I don't know if it's political. It's more COVID stuff, I think.
Oh, okay.
Will the fly on Mike Pence's head get his own town hall?
I'm town halled out.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about the fly. Actually, he did.
He did.
Yeah, he made a passing mention that his kids were laughing about the fly on top of his head.
We had it assassinated.
He didn't feel it. But I'm still fascinated. That has got to be. We ought to check into it. That ought to be like an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records. A fly that stood still for the longest ever without even moving. And that was the fly on Pence's head. Did you see that anything fly-related for Halloween, the costumes are sold out? Did you see that?
How many costumes are there?
Any fly costume is, like, sold out.
Because fly swatters.
Yeah. And then Halloween remains, you know, a big question mark. I saw that a New Jersey city canceled Halloween. I'm guessing locally here in the Tampa Bay area that Halloween is going to go on. But, you know, what do you, I don't.
You know what I'm seeing an uptick of, though? Halloween decorations in people's yards.
That's true.
I feel like they're going nuts.
It seems like it's more so this year. It is. And I think it's maybe an overcompensation that people want to, like, do up a nice Halloween display because of all the COVID crap that we've gone through. But the big question for me is I love, you know, kids. I love the fact that kids get joy in Halloween, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. We could be in a second wave right now. And I don't want to hand candy to all these kids. So, but then if you put the thing out, you put the table out, then like three kids grab it all and it's gone in 3 minutes. So, all right.
If you like, Roxanne will bring her two kids. I'll bring my two. Yeah. Froggy, his two. We'll bring them to your house. And from like 20 feet away, you can throw Snicker bars at them.
I saw a guy that came up with a tube idea and he was up on a porch and he put the candy in like a long, imagine stringing together like 38 paper towel tubes, and then you're up on your porch, and you slide the candy down the tube to the kid right into their basket.
That's not a terrible idea.
I think it's a good idea.
Throw it.
All right, the Michelle issue. I got a Michelle issue. I want to run it by you. Hold on to that thought. We'll get to that. It's something Michelle wants me to change about myself. Little tip. And that's next on the MJ Morning Show Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. MJ and the crew. And my guys, Froggy Fester, Roxanne, you might not know this yet, but I don't mind self-deprecating humor. I don't mind Froggy and Fester busting my chops and picking on me. So I'm going to give you guys a moment here to revel in this situation, in what I'm about to present.
Oh, God. Please.
And I'll let you guess first. What are you mumbling about over there?
I just wanted to be one thing. I hope it's one thing. I know what it is, I think.
All right. So, my lovely wife, Michelle, who I love dearly.
Good.
Has somewhat recently, maybe the last, it might have been since COVID, actually. It might have been since last March. Michelle has dropped, she hasn't said do this, but she's dropped a couple of hints about something that I might want to consider changing about myself. Now, I will narrow it down. I will tell you it is about appearance.
Oh, God, yes. I'm so close.
So Michelle does seem like the sweetheart type that would just, she wouldn't be direct about it. She would just drop hints and lead you down the path.
Michelle's a lawyer. You know,
she'll be direct as hell.
She was a prosecutor for Hillsborough County for a bit before we had kids. And then I think she wants to go back and do law stuff again. I mean, I just saw my credit card statement. She just paid her bar dues. So, I mean,
what the hell is she doing? The kid's out of the house. Come on.
She's keeping her Florida, you know, bar license up and running.
That's the only reason why I feel comfortable with my petty life of crime.
Unlike a couple of guys I know locally that don't have to send in bar dues anymore.
Hey, listen, just throw on that pantsuit, Michelle, and get in there. Back to work.
All right. So, appearance.
Yeah.
God, please let me guess.
Is it hair related?
Why are you taking my guess?
That's the guess. That's the guess.
Let Froggy go first. All right, what is Michelle? What hints? And she's not being mean. She's not being bitchy. Okay. No, she's not. And what I was saying, Roxanne, Michelle can be very direct. Michelle has no problem being direct. She doesn't beat around the bush. When she doesn't want to beat around the bush, she doesn't beat around the bush.
Right, but it sounds like in this situation, she's being a little bit kinder about things.
She's dropping hints.
No, I have no issue. I've been married for 26 years. We've got two kids together, and she can say whatever she wants to me. I mean, it's not much that hurts my feelings. And guys, you work with me for how long? Do my feelings get hurt? Am I pretty tough as far as skin goes?
I can't believe this stuff you let me and Fester get away with. We've been trying to hurt your feeling for years.
Okay, Froggy, what's your guess?
What do you think Michelle has been dropping hints about regarding my appearance?
It's got to be getting rid of that COVID-infested poof, finally, once and for all.
What? There's nothing else?
Well,
shave your nose hairs? What the hell?
I don't have nose hairs.
Does it have to do with your five head?
Jesus, Fess, that was a little... I think you offended
us. This is awkward because now you're asking us to really... Does she want you to?
It's fine. I don't care. You guys.
Does she want you to grow a beard,
Roxanne? Right. You will learn this about me. I don't care. There are going to be plenty of times where you guys are going to pick me apart, and you can choose to defend me. You can choose to pile on with the guys.
All right, looking at you, there is no way in hell it's not your hair. It has to be.
I just had to record something in my heart monitor because this conversation is making me
Roxanne, what do you think it is?
Are you still wearing the heart monitor?
Just another week.
Are you still having...
I had a skipped beat just now, so something about this is...
Did you really?
I think I know what it is.
We just gave you a heart palpitation?
I think I know what it is.
By the way, Roxanne is wearing a little heart monitor under her shirt.
Oh, fine. Nothing to worry about.
Her cardiologist is just... checking
just
her heart,
getting some
right?
data.
All right, getting some data. Yes, some raw data.
All right, I know.
What do you think?
Are we on the right track with hair?
You got man boobs, and she wants you to get rid of them.
She wants me to have a man boobectomy?
Or maybe a bra?
I don't have man boobs.
Is it the way you dress?
How No.
How your wardrobe's been identical since like 1995.
Same thing. Okay. I have 27 pairs of khaki shorts.
Okay.
I have a rotation of about 8 shirts, and... we've got a washer and dryer.
Remember that episode
it works.
The Brady Bunch when the kid hung upside down from the monkey bars to try to stretch himself and grow? Is that it?
I don't remember that one. No. I'm fine with my height, Froggy.
Just do me a favor. Turn around. Does she want you to get a butt lift?
You really do have a flat ass.
We're running out of body parts.
Seriously.
All right. It is hair related.
Okay.
Yes, I knew it.
But you're wrong as far as I think you haven't hit on what it is.
She wants you to have a Mr. Whipple.
Oh, I know what it is.
What?
She wants you to change the color.
What?
Roxanne is getting closer.
Straighten it.
Warmer. No, I'm not going to straighten my curly hair.
Okay, we had this conversation at our house, and I told my wife no.
And what do you think it is?
Does she want you to use Just for Men for your beard?
No, not for the beard. For
the grays.
For the hair?
You know what? My hair is pretty brown on top, right?
It is.
But look at the sides now.
Yeah.
And I think I got a little more gray during COVID. I think it was the stress of living through that, you know, initial, we don't know what's going to happen, hellscape in Manhattan. And I got a little gray on the side, and Michelle has been kind of dropping. Let me get her on the phone. Hold on a minute.
Don't do that.
Don't get her on the phone.
You're going to look like a complete ass. No. With the hair.
Let me get Michelle on the phone. And she's not being mean about it. She's just dropping some hints here and there.
Some people can't pull off the silver fox.
Gray is one of those things that kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Not me.
It snuck up on you at 35.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
I'm assuming that you're listening to the fabulous Q105 and the return of the MJ Morning Show.
Yes.
You're not listening to Kane in the morning, are you?
Who?
No. All right, I don't think I can.
All right. Go ahead. So you hear what we're talking about? So I'm not busting on you.
Maybe I'll just take advantage of this opportunity and say all of the above, whatever everybody's listed, go for it, buddy.
All right, so
I mean, honestly,
I'll let you set the pace here. What little hints have you been dropping? And you haven't come out and said, do it. I'm trying to remember, because how have you said...
I didn't say do it because I don't need you to do it for me. I was suggesting it for you because sometimes it takes me to, like, kind of prompt you to do something. And it's not because I want to see the change, but I think that, you know, you might feel better with the change. And you don't realize it.
So you think I'm graying a little bit on the sides, or maybe a lot.
Oh, it's not a little bit. It's not even gray. It's silver. You're like the silver fox now.
The silver fox.
Why do you care? That's a good look. I mean, if your hair wasn't so odd looking, it'd look normal.
All right, so, Michelle, are you suggesting that I go to Walgreens and get some Just for Men or what?
I just put it out there for you. I was like, you know what? I don't. You're 54. Maybe you would feel better if you...
But some of the guys that do it, Froggy's right. Some of the guys, and Froggy...
It looks stupid.
Some of the guys that do it, yeah. It's so ridiculous. They leave it in too long, and it looks like
obvious.
It looks like they dumped a bucket of paint on their head. It looks silly.
It's like duck sauce up there or something.
I just was suggesting it for you, thinking, you know, you're only 54, maybe you're a little... more silver before you wanted to be there. I don't look, obviously it's not bothering.
But it's the distinguished executive look.
That's right. Some people could pull it off.
It's like I'm a broker at Morgan Stanley or something.
You know what's interesting is guys who have no hair.
In shorts and a t-shirt.
That's right.
Guys who have no hair, this is what Doug has always said, is you don't age as quickly because you don't see the gray come in. Is that how you feel, Fester?
Well, no, because I have I understand where he's coming from, but I have a gray... My goatee's turning gray, and my wife's like, you should really look into getting Just for Men.
Oh, God, what's the matter with you?
Or she'll say, can I just ferment your beard? And I was like, no.
Yeah, my beard actually turned more gray before the hair on top of my head. I don't know if that's common, but my beard, remember, used to be like brown and reddish on my...
And wait a minute. Yeah. Can I point out that I'm always begging you to grow the beard?
Yeah, so Michelle likes...
Clearly, the color of the gray or silver is not bothering me.
Yes, Michelle's always like the... Should we do a poll? Should I... Do you guys want to see me experiment with Just for Men? And it'll be all over my clothes. It'll be on the walls of my bathroom.
You got to do your eyebrows, too.
No, my eyebrows are fine. My eyebrows are totally brown. There's no gray in my eyebrows.
Yeah, but it's not going to match your hair.
That's true. Right. So the curtain's got to match the drapes? Is that
what I was going to say, my happy trail.
Oh, the carpet. The carpet matches the
drapes. That means something totally different.
I know, Fester.
On top of your head,
Fester, I know.
The curtains and the balance has to match.
The cornice board.
Everything up
high. The window treatments have to match, is what you're saying.
Treatments of the windows, please.
All right, so Michelle, would you want me to do it myself by going to the drugstore and buying Just for Men, or would you want it to be professionally done so it doesn't look like a hack job, like I'm an idiot with a paintbrush?
Fester's doing it to you on the air.
It's whatever you want, okay? I didn't need it for me. I was just saying it for you, like, hey, because I didn't know you don't look at yourself in the mirror so often.
Cut to the chase. Do you want me to do it, yes or no?
I don't want you to do anything that doesn't make you feel, you know.
You've got a great colorist. You've gone to Michael for years.
That's right.
Do you want me to... Do you want me to do it? Yes or no?
I don't need you to do anything other than the laundry.
Hold on. What did you say?
I said I don't need you to do anything other than the laundry.
That's what Marlena's for.
Give me an answer here. Do you want me to do it? We've got 23 seconds before Prince starts singing. Do you want me to do it?
It's up to you.
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Michelle.
Goodbye.
I won't be your silver fox anymore, on the sides at least.
Give me your brown fox.
Bye, sweetie. 8:33, the MJ Morning Show. We're back on Q105. Well, can the Rays do it tonight?
Down 2-0, the 2-2 to Rosarena. Lifted in the air to right field. Joyce going back. He looks up, and it is gone.
Did you see the hit from Randy Arozarena? When he swings a bat, it is mucho muy buena. Step to the plate, he is doing it again. Hey, Arozarena. Did you see the hit from Randy Arozarena? When he swings a bat, it is mucho muy buena. Step to the plate, he is doing it again. Hey, Arozarena.
And he rips one in the center field. That had good wood on it. He's gone back. He's at the wall, and she's gone. Randy Arozarena.
Did you see the hit from Randy Arozarena? When he swings a bat, it is mucho muy buena. Step to the plate, he is doing it again. Hey, Arozarena.
Huh? Now, he had a great night last night, but it was not enough to pull off the win for that four-game sweep.
Nice home run, Randy Arozarena. He has 19 hits in the postseason rookie.
Can you say Randy Arozarena? Can you please say that?
That's how I love to say it.
Randy Arozarena.
Nice home run, Randy Arozarena.
Thank you.
And he had 19, and Fester's rolling his eyes at my singing voice.
It's okay.
Better than mine.
19 hits in the postseason as a rookie. Only Derek Jeter had more. Well, he had 22 in his rookie postseason, so...
Hey,
a nice little check there.
With your husband being really good friends with Derek Jeter, you think Derek Jeter would ever call our show if we had a need for Derek Jeter? Or would your
My husband is such good friends with him, he works to keep people like us away from him.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, I see.
Good answer. So he's catching up to Jeter is what you're saying. So he may have the record for the most hits in the postseason.
Yes.
Wow. It's the MJ Morning. Well, listen.
All jokes aside, I can't see why not.
Arozarena, though, he's been on fire. How many home runs has he had, like, in the last month?
643.
It's a lot. Yeah. He's about to beat Hank Aaron's record here.
In one season, he's going to beat Hank Aaron's.
Does that still stand? Was that beaten?
Barry Bonds?
Who beat Hank Aaron's, 714, wasn't it? Something like that?
You're talking about the Mark McGwire Barry Bonds race? So the home run?
Yeah, yeah. So who's the home run king now?
If I had to wage a guess, I would say I think Barry Bonds is.
I think that one midget that was in the Guinness Book of World Records for smallest baseball player.
Yes, the midget that played for the White Sox in 1912.
Who holds the home run record right now? Right.
Barry Bonds has 762.
Yeah. 762. But of course,
Hammer and Hank.
Right, but all of Hammer and Hank. What was his total? I know that he...
755.
755, but it was 714 that he broke the record, right?
714 was Babe Ruth.
I was watching it with my grandfather. I was in Hollywood, Florida. I was at 74, 75 when he broke the record, Hank Aaron. I was a little kid. I was watching the game with my grandfather, Papa Fred. So it had to be before 75 because my grandfather died. When did Hank Aaron do it?
I think it was 74. You're in the right year.
It must have been because my grandfather died in the summer of 75. So it must have been the year before because I remember watching it with my grandfather. I remember the big 714 flashing on the screen with like these really crappy graphics back then. And I was a kid. I was like maybe 8 years old when Hank Aaron did it. So Rays, hopefully they can do it tonight. We would have loved to have them finish it last night. The Rays take it in four straight and just totally shut out the trash rows. But didn't happen last night. So will they do it tonight or do the Astros have momentum now coming off of the win last night?
It's too hard to pick right now for me because my heart's in it. That's why I picked them to win last night. But how about the Braves are up 2-1, but look at what the Dodgers did last night to them, scoring 11 runs in the first inning.
It's pretty crazy. 11 runs in inning number one. So go Rays tonight. This is coming back. Recognize this?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited about this.
Yeah.
Is this the last job he had, Michael, whatever his name is?
Michael C. Hall. Yeah, so Dexter is coming back. Hold on to that thought. I want to get into this. And, you know, folks were so ticked off the way that Dexter actually ended. It really was one of the crappiest series endings ever. But now Dexter's coming back. That and more coming up on the MJ Morning Show Q105. Back in a minute.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is Q105. It is 8:54. It's MJ, Froggy, Fester, and Roxanne, and Dexter, which was just an amazing show. I really loved it, except the ending blew chunks. What was it, 8 seasons, right? And the good news is Dexter is coming back. So are they going to clean up the mess that they left at the very end? Do you remember what happened? Froggy, you were a Dexter fan, right? You loved Dexter.
I watched the first 3 or 4 seasons, and then they lost me.
Whoa. You walked away after 3 or 4 seasons?
I did. After the Miguel Prada season, I left it.
You know, who's the detective with the kind of the bucket hat? You know, he lives locally here.
Is he going to be on the show again? I forgot about him.
What's his, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What's his name? Look it up on IMDb.
The
chubbier Hispanic guy. Yeah, he's great. He's a fantastic actor. And I believe he's always spotted, or he was always spotted, like up in like Holiday or Newport Richie area.
Angel Batista is his character.
His character.
Oh, David Zayas.
David Zayas. He has ties. Last I knew, he had ties to the Bay Area here. So I think he might have families or a family here, or he might have a home here or something. All right, so the deal with Dexter is it went for 8 seasons, and guess what? Showtime has just announced they're bringing it back, a limited series revival of the serial killer series Dexter. It's going to star Michael C. Hall. They've only signed up for 10 episodes, so a limited revival, but if this thing is hot, money talks and BS walks. If this thing's hot, then this thing could be back for real for maybe another 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons.
That'd be cool. I mean, hopefully the show's a little darker than it was before, if that's even possible. What's
wrong with you?
So when we last checked in with Dexter, he was what, going to be a lumberjack? Is that how it ended?
Well, that's how it ended. And people were like, what the hell is this? He sent the kid to live with his serial killer girlfriend, right? His sister died.
Really?
Yeah, his sister, Deborah Morgan.
She's out.
And that, yeah, she died. They might flash her back, though. I would imagine that's the case. And Deborah Morgan is actually Hall's real...
girlfriend or...
Ex-wife. They were married.
Yeah.
I think they're divorced now, but real ex-wife. What's her name? Jennifer...
Carpenter?
Carpenter. Yeah, Jennifer Carpenter. And she died... The kid went away, and then Dexter, like, goes to the Pacific Northwest to become a flipping lumberjack. How do you end a serial killer series? This is a guy in Miami, part of the crime squad, you know, the crime lab with the Miami Police Department. He's picking off other serial killers under the noses of the Miami PD and the feds. And you end this series with him going to be a lumberjack. That's got to be the one of the worst endings ever for such a great series. So are they going to clean that up? That's the big question. I don't know.
Is it going to be shot in Miami again, or is it going to be in the woods somewhere?
Well, I'm sure it's going to start out in Portland or something, or somewhere up in the woods. Did you watch Dexter?
I didn't watch Dexter, but I'm not surprised it's coming back. Everybody is in love with Ratched on Netflix, about Nurse Ratched. And it's got that same kind of feel.
Okay.
What's that one? I don't know this one.
You haven't seen Ratched?
Well, hold on. First of all, with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu, and there's just so much stuff. I don't know how there are any starving actors anymore. There's so much crap. But, of course, COVID put a little kibosh, at least temporarily, on production. So what the hell's Ratched about?
Ratched, okay, Nurse Mildred Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Big villain.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's a classic movie.
It's her backstory.
I like when the Indian dude throws the big center console thing out the window. That's my favorite part of that.
Throw it out there, Chief.
Yeah, Chief.
So it's based like 50 years ago or something, right?
Yes. And it's Sarah Paulson, who's amazing.
Oh, she plays everything.
Maybe Nurse Ratched can get hacked up by Dexter on like a series swap or something.
I'm feeling like this is a reaction to that having so much popularity.
Come on, Nurse Ratched, let us watch the game.
I'm going to throw the TV out the window, the big screen TV. Production is set for next year. Production for the new Dexter revival 2021. No permanent, or I should say, no premiere date has been set yet. And they got to start making the shows first. But are they going to address the bizarre ending on the whole lumberjack thing?
I'm sure. And then he'll get the taste for blood and move back to Miami.
Or is he going to start killing people in lumberjack country? Is that where it's going to pick up?
I don't think that's flashy enough. Maybe L.A.
The Paul Bunyan of a serial killer.
Killing Canadians. Who knows?
Jag Booty. Would you guys get... Well, first of all, Roxanne, you don't seem to me the type of woman that would answer an ad and then go to a garage to have butt implants or have a butt filler injected in your rear end.
That's a very specific scenario that I would not participate right in.
There have been horrible stories. There was one out of... Wasn't there one out of Orlando some years ago?
I do remember out of Miami, too.
Numerous cases where people... And for whatever reason, this disproportionately affects, I think, the Hispanic community and black clients as well that want to get butt enhancements. And instead of going to a board-certified plastic surgeon, like my brother's a board-certified plastic surgeon over on the east coast of Florida, and he does butt enhancements and butt lifts. He does everything. You know, he's a maxillofacial, craniofacial expert, but he does cosmetic stuff and has a couple of clinics over there. And he does it right because he's a doctor. But people...
So he actually does the butt implants?
He's done that, yeah, absolutely. But this is legitimately medically approved stuff. But the issue has been for 10 years, 15 years plus, of people having, like, Home Depot 20-year caulk injected in their ass.
Well, it's good for 20 years.
But it's killed people. Yeah. People have died. And the latest is Jag Booty. Yeah, I'm going to get my butt worked on by a lady named Jag Booty in a tool shed in her backyard in Pembroke Pines. This is actually out of Texas, but a Texas woman known as Jag Booty was arrested for murder last week, allegedly giving a woman a fatal silicone butt injection. Pamela Burnley, 55, arrested last week, giving the black market injection to 35-year-old Latora King at her Dallas home. King had gone to Dallas with a friend and met Burnley at a parking lot before driving to her house where she got the silicone butt injection, and she's dead.
Up until that point, everything sounds pretty legit.
What, meeting in a parking lot?
Sure.
The heck are you talking about?
They were properly social distancing, and then Jag Booty says, let's go. Jag Booty.
After Burnley allegedly Jag Booty, after Jag Booty gave the injection, King went back to her home and sent the message to say that she made it. Yeah, baby, laid down, she said. Days later, King sent Burnley a number of photos of her grotesquely misshapen buttocks. Why? Because you injected Home Depot Lowe's silicone, window caulking, essentially, in your butt.
Miss Booty, my butt looks weird.
First of all, please call me Jag.
The good news is it's going to seal out the weather for 25 years.
But it'll kill you in like 25 days.
The bad news is you're dead. So she sent the picture of the grossly misshapen buttocks. And she then went to the hospital and she died. Folks, public service here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Do not meet someone in a parking lot and then go to their house and have them inject silicone in your rear end. I don't get it. 903, the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Q105, MJ, Froggy, Fester, and Roxanne. It is 9:10 here on Thursday. Go Rays tonight. Come on. Would have been great to finish this thing up last night, but the Astros came clawing back, and they don't want to be shut out 4-0. So Game 5 tonight, and the Rays could wrap it up. Guys, I got two holiday stories here. So I've got the Halloween story. I've got the Thanksgiving story. The Halloween story is upbeat, and the Thanksgiving story is a little downbeat. So you want me to go Halloween first?
Let's go in calendar order.
Okay, good idea. Look at that. Fester is so pragmatic.
Stick to the timeline.
Years. You saw the video, right, Roxanne? Is that amazing?
I think I saw the same thing we're talking about. That you're talking about.
Well, I sent it over because I want to get the video up on our website. We'll get the video up on MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. And over the years, I know we've talked about this. There have been some really realistic Halloween displays that have elicited calls to 911, where it's so realistic. Like somebody hanging in the yard, for instance, like a graveyard scene and somebody hanging. Police have been called, people thinking that, oh, my God, it's a real person hanging. Oh, it's a suicide. Oh, my. And it turns out it's a Halloween prank or it's a Halloween decoration. Out in Riverside, California, there's a Riverside family. They have done a Halloween theme. I guess it's Pirates of the Caribbean is their theme. And they add new things to it every year. This year, they made it look like their house is on fire, like the pillaging pirates lit the whole damn place on fire.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's sort of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
There's a ship there, and they tried it. Yep.
At Disney, isn't there a fire scene where one of the buildings, when you're in Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the buildings is on fire at Disney, when you're riding on that boat through the moat or whatever that thing is. So these guys have a fire scene on the one whole side of their house, and they've got blowing curtains and orange light and fans, and it looks realistic, so much so that people have called 911. The fire department actually responded.
Wow.
I can see why. This video looks like, it's got smoke billowing.
Yeah. Oh, they got smoke coming out. They've got smoke machines. It looks really real.
Was it like one of those like hologram sort of things that
look at it.
Glow on your house?
No, they've got like props to make it look like there are flames inside the window.
It's window.
It's inside the house, behind the window. They have the curtains and it's all orange and yellow and red and it's blowing and they've got smoke coming out. It's really amazing.
It's like one of those fake Amish like fire places that they make.
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
Each window.
It's Carmen and Travis Long.
Wow, that looks real.
And they have this really incredible display.
Too real.
It's out of Riverside, California. Listen to this. This is from Channel 7, KABC Television, out in L.A. I want you to hear what some of the people are saying. And, they're talking about how realistic it looks. Listen.
A raging inferno in Riverside. Flames ripping through this home. But this fire is all fun.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I feel like I'm at Disneyland. It looks awesome. I can't believe it. It looks realistic.
To say Carmen and Travis Long love Halloween is an understatement. They began creating their Pirates of Caribbean creation 3 years ago.
We've been adding things every year. It started with just skeletons. Then we added a cannon in the back and the ship, the pretend fire on the side.
The fake flames, though, stealing the show.
Look at this. It was kind of scary at first because it looks like a real fire.
Yeah, it does.
Really cool.
Oh, it was amazing. The fire looks realistic. We heard that they called the fire department several times, too, so... Yeah, it's awesome.
The make-believe blaze so real, passerbys have called the fire department numerous times.
Listen, numerous times.
Is
the
this
fire
a little tone deaf in California?
How much is that costing the taxpayers?
Oh, wow.
With the California fires. Yeah, probably not. You know, I feel so bad for those affected by the California fires. Worst scenes than ever.
Not us. Yeah. Not us. The video. People
what do you mean?
Who live there. We're not tone deaf. The person who created the...
I understand that.
I think they're just trying to make a Halloween display and have their estates on fire in real life.
And then quickly on to Dr. Fauci. You saw the CDC is out with some guidance on Thanksgiving. Maybe rethink those family gatherings. It turns out that they believe that it's kind of small family gatherings now that are starting to drive and fuel the growth of COVID-19 in a second wave here.
Past plates.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving could be a super spreader event, and it could cause cases to spiral even more. U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the director, Robert Redfield, had a call with the nation's governors on Tuesday, and he said, we're seeing an increased threat right now, and it's actually acquisition of infection through small household gatherings. Particularly with Thanksgiving coming up, we think it's really important to stress the vigilance of these continued mitigation steps. For instance, out on Long Island in New York, there was a Sweet 16 party, and that's now been connected to 37 confirmed cases from one. Not so sweet of a 16 dinner, was it?
No.
More like sour, huh?
And the cake sucked.
37 confirmed cases at a Sweet 16 party on Long Island and 270 people in quarantine because of that.
Great.
How about that? And then Fauci, he did an interview, I think this was on CNN, and Fauci is, he's like Debbie Downer Thanksgiving here. Listen.
That is unfortunately a risk when you have people coming from out of town, gathering together in an indoor setting. You don't know what the status of it is. It is unfortunate because that's such a sacred part of American tradition, the family gathering around Thanksgiving. But that is a risk.
And then he talks about being on a plane.
But when you're talking about relatives that are getting on a plane, being exposed in an airport, being exposed in a plane, then walk in the door and say, Happy Thanksgiving. That you have to be careful
about. And then they cough on the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if gelatin cranberry in a can is like the one thing that cures you from COVID?
You know, if you had spittle on that cranberry, it would stick.
Hey, Fauci said that his own kids aren't coming for Thanksgiving this year. Listen.
My Thanksgiving is going to look very different this year. I would love to have it with my children, but my children are in three separate states throughout the country. And in order for them to get here, they would all have to go to an airport, get on a plane, travel with public transportation. They themselves, because of their concern for me and my age, have decided they're not going to come home for Thanksgiving, even though all three of them want very much to come home for Thanksgiving.
They're going to Zoom.
Yeah, so give it some thought.
You know what? I wouldn't want to have Thanksgiving with Fauci either.
Oh,
what a
boring joy.
All right, everybody.
You're all going to die from COVID. Happy Thanksgiving.
No angry political discussions. That happens a lot of times at Thanksgiving, so at least you avoid those.
9:17, it's the MJ Morning Show and the great return of the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show, 928. Roxanne, I wish you would stop body shaming Billie Eilish. Can you stop, please?
Was I doing that again?
No.
I would never do that.
Before we get to the morons in the news, you saw what happened, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know, or they've heard Billie Eilish, or their kids love Billie Eilish. Kind of like that. She's like an emo, isn't she? Kind of the
she.
Billie Eilish.
I'm a big fan of Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
You know, a lot of her songs are different sounding. Well, I should say that they're different in the type of song it is, but I find a lot of her songs actually sound very similar. But this is Billie Eilish and...
Is it a green-haired girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me play a little bit of Billie Eilish. Hold on, the computer's all... We got to get Windows 7 off this computer. I'm serious. So the computer, I'm trying to plug. It is. It's Windows 7 on here.
We can get Windows 8.
I'm not making it up. I got the spinning thing right now. I'm trying to play something live on the air. The thing's just spinning and spinning and spinning.
How many Billie Eilish songs do we have?
there's none in the station computer because, Q105 does not play Billie Eilish.
Maxima doesn't?
No.
Oh.
Nope. And I'm trying to play it off of the computer right now, but of course the computer is all locked up and it's just spinning and spinning because we have Windows 7 from 2007 on here. What are you laughing at, Coop? Come in here. Coop is laughing. Coop, our producer over here, is laughing.
Get in here, Coop!
Why are you laughing?
Are you sure it's Windows 7?
You think, look at this thing. It's just spinning and trying to play some Billie Eilish.
You also called her an emo, and I haven't heard that term in like 5 years.
Whatever, millennial. Get out of here.
Oh, Generation Z-er.
What would you call her?
I don't know. I would just call her awesome. Trendy. She's trendy, right? She's trendy.
But she's known to wear baggy clothes because she doesn't want to be body shamed, and then she was spotted in a tank top and some shorts. Out in California, and then people started body shaming her.
Where she look? I mean,
the guy's comment was kind of funny.
All right,
the guy who shamed her. It was just humor.
What was the comment?
He said, "In 10 months, Billie Eilish has developed a mid-30s wine mom body."
I mean, she's got big hooties.
So that's. And I'm trying to play the song, the bad guy, and it's just not working. It's just spinning and spinning and spinning.
People, she has a song.
And spinning and spinning. Hold on.
That's her?
That's her. That's the picture that they're body shaming her on.
She looks good. I mean,
and listen, we can post the image if you want.
As a mid-30s wine mom, I take it as a compliment. Everyone can laugh now.
It's spinning and spinning. Wait a minute. Hold on. It might be coming back to life here, folks. Hold on a minute.
Better be worth it.
Hang on a minute. Hold on. It might start playing now.
All right, on to the next.
Anyone want to hum it?
It's crazy. All right, hang on a minute. So, do I have to play this ad? Oh, here's the song. All right, let me fast forward. Here it is. This is the song.
That type, I'm the bad guy.
This is it.
Duh.
So that's Billie Eilish. Only took the computer 3 minutes to start working.
I don't hear her.
She's just moaning in the background.
Yeah, so that's the Billie Eilish song. So, Roxanne, stop body shaming, will you, please?
Oh, I'll stop.
She looks like a Teletubby in that bit, like a...
Okay.
Like a green Teletubby.
Come on, Froggy.
First of all, that's wrong. Second of all, it's not untrue.
Stop. It's not a Teletubby.
Did you see the video where she jumped in black slime?
No, I didn't see that. So, all right, more on to the news. You ready? Now, I'm not taking any political sides here. This is not intended to be political at all. But there was a dust-up in Utah, a Trump supporter getting into an altercation with Black Lives Matter protesters, and then the Trump supporter starts coughing on them. What are you laughing at?
I mean, these days, if that's like your big defense is to cough on somebody, it's just so funny.
I would rather you pull a knife on me than cough on me.
I mean, people are just nuts.
All you Democrats, Black lives don't matter. All lives matter. You look like a little pansy ass piece of shit. It's all you. Oh, I'm so scared of your f***ing virus.
And then he's doing this exaggerated,
cough like that.
It's like an impression of a bird and a cough.
I'm sorry. That's not called for. What are you doing? Come on.
If you're going to fake cough, make it realistic.
Yeah, have some phlegm in there.
Knock it off. And then this could be my favorite one of the day, and it's local. The barbecue place and the Yelp issue there, Fester?
Georgia Boy Barbecue in Oldsmar.
We got to spend some time on this, and we shall, as the morons in the news continue next. I am sensing Fester is going to do a food review at this barbecue place. Where is it, in Largo? Is that where it is,
Fester?
Is it Largo? I thought it was like Oldsmar area.
This is a great, great story. Hold on a minute. We'll get to that. That'll be part of Morons in the News. Before we get to that, if by any chance anybody listening to the MJ Morning Show now on Q105, if any chance you're in St. Pete today, if any chance you're on 4th Street in St. Pete today, if any chance you're down around, 34th and 4th? If any chance you're at El Cap today, one of my absolute favorites on the planet, make sure you say happy 29th anniversary to Johnny Johnson. He's the brilliant chef, the cook.
At El Cap?
At El Cap.
That's awesome.
And this is his 29th anniversary today. And I believe that he's going to retire a year from now. 30 years, he's going to retire. And he's already training a whole staff to make sure the burgers are as good. Listen, bottom line, El Cap burgers, I was in New York for some time. I couldn't find a burger anywhere near as good as El Cap in New York City. El Cap, for me, is one of the best burgers on the planet, bar none. And Johnny's just amazing. So, Johnny, happy 29th anniversary. I can't tell you how many times I've been to El Cap.
I never been.
And you really?
I need one. I saw it right down the street. I was like, well, there it is.
Dude, you got to go to El Cap.
Good, give me one.
So, 29th anniversary, Johnny Johnson, the brilliant chef at El Cap, and he's going to retire a year from now after he does 30 years, and he also calculates it's going to be 1 million burgers made by him. Is that amazing?
That's a lot of burgers.
A million burgers.
Does he have carpal tunnel syndrome from so many burgers?
Yeah, carpal cheeseburger syndrome is what he has.
Mild piece of black lung.
I stand corrected. Yeah. It was Oldsmar.
It was.
Yes, he lives in Largo.
All right, let's talk. This is crazy. Folks, this is just absolute insanity. And I love a Yelp review story that turns violent, where the owner of the restaurant attacks the bad reviewer. And then it's even better when it's local. And it's even better when the reviewer has a connection to the family.
That's fantastic. It's really the perfect story for a morning show.
Oh, my God. The Smoking Gun, they got a hold of the story. This guy was all ticked off. The owner of the barbecue joint was really ticked off over these bad reviews on Yelp. And he physically attacked the individual he suspects of leaving the bad reviews. They arrested the owner of the barbecue place, Daniel Aaron, 60, he jumped on top of the male victim, struck him several times while outside a residence in Largo. Aaron's, I'm looking at his mugshot, was arrested for battery, booked into county jail, released from custody early this week, posted $500 bond on the misdemeanor charge. According to the arrest affidavit, the confrontation Tuesday night began when the victim, whose name has been redacted by the popo, arrived at the Largo home. The 25-year-old victim is the son of Aaron's girlfriend. The owner of the barbecue place's girlfriend, her son, is the one that left the bad review for the barbecue place. His mom's boyfriend.
What an ungrateful little punk.
The victim, cops reported, sought to speak with his mother about threatening communication sent to him by Aaron's. In addition to text, Aaron's allegedly called the man several times in regard to wanting to beat his ass about the restaurant review. And he put up a couple of brutal Yelp reviews.
I love these reviews, by the way.
Which went up on Monday, where the girlfriend's son left these Yelp reviews for Georgia Boys Barbecue, which is owned by Aaron's. Do you want to read the reviews, Roxanne?
I wouldn't call this barbecue. Heck, I wouldn't even feed it to my dog. Maybe the owner should spend less time threatening customers and more time on learning to cook properly.
Good way to get yourself smacked in the face.
Yeah, I don't love these reviews because I like him bad-mouthing this restaurant, but I mean, it's just, there's some dysfunction there in his family.
Beat the crap out of you.
What's the other review?
Eat your own vomit and stay in.
What's the other review?
Worst customer service in Florida. Not a great idea to threaten your customers due to you serving garbage barbecue.
Okay, so this
I don't believe these reviews,
first of all,
but they're funny.
Obviously fake and they're meant to be malicious. This guy deserves an ass kicking.
Clearly,
I agree.
The guy's girlfriend's son has some beef with the owner of Georgia Boys Barbecue.
You know how many good reviews he's going to have to get to compensate for these bad ones?
Yelp will take these down.
down.
Yeah, Yelp might take these down. A lot of times if it's vindictive and it's angry, they'll take them down.
He's trolling.
So that's unbelievable.
This 25-year-old kid has no idea that sometimes when you piss off a real man, you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, nothing like an ear smack can't handle, knock your equilibrium out.
Give him some cauliflower ear and serve it at the restaurant.
But then the report says that Aaron's, the barbecue store owner, was arrested in July on multiple felony counts after allegedly punching his girlfriend in the face and placing a pillow over her face for 2 minutes.
Oh my God. The guy has a short fuse.
She can hold her breath, man.
But how's his barbecue? All right?
I'd like to find out.
He tried to murder the girlfriend allegedly with a pillow over the face, but hey, how's his barbecue?
Let's go.
After 2 minutes, he's like, seriously? You're still breathing?
I hope he cooks his barbecue for more than 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That should be, a nice slow cook over 12 hours, right?
This kid's going to find himself on the smoker. He keeps pissing off this old guy.
Oh, my God.
Good for him.
He could be the daily special. It takes all kinds of critters to make Farmer Vincent's fritters.
Bester knows how the barbecue community sticks together.
Listen, I'm on the old man's side.
Oh, my God. What else do we have? A couple other ones. Oh, this is sick. Listen to this, Roxanne. This is going to make your skin crawl.
Ew.
A Houston attorney was busted for allegedly using a phone to secretly record a coworker using the bathroom. Go ahead.
Is this in the women's restroom, a guy in the women's restroom, a woman in the women's restroom?
Landon Keating, 30, was arrested on charges for invasive visual recordings after a female colleague uncovered the device hidden in the women's bathroom.
So he snuck into the women's bathroom.
At a Houston office. Now, do you think there's any coincidence here?
He snuck in.
Well, no, he went in and placed the device when no one was in there so he could capture somebody when they were doing their business inside the business. You think there's any coincidence here that this happened in Houston? And, of course, the Rays are playing, hopefully, the final game with Houston tonight, the Astros.
Yes, I think it's a great
coincidence.
Big Astros fan, this guy, and he was so pissed off at the first three games that I need to go put a camera in my commode.
Yeah, this is awful.
Astros are knocking on the trash cans in here.
As she told, the woman told authorities that the phone belonged to Keating and contained several videos of her using the bathroom. That's sick.
He's got good battery life on that phone.
Yeah. As a result of the investigation, several hundred videos of images and files of the complainant using her own office bathroom were discovered. So this guy's been creeping for a while. Jeez. Taken into custody, released on $25,000 bond.
Yeah, sicko.
Can't even go to her own personal bathroom?
And guys, it's an attorney. It's a Houston attorney doing this. Yeah, you might have trouble with the Texas State Bar after this, huh?
Is that a disbarable offense?
You can't wear your mirror shoes in court, sir.
I would say, Fester, yeah, I think that's a disbarring event, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know, I'm not a lawyer.
Great Florida story right here in Pinellas County. A Florida woman arrested, allegedly battering her 69-year-old boyfriend. Of course, he's 69, after he refused to perform a sex act on her.
Oh, hey now.
Isn't that lovely? Pinellas County Sheriff's Department called to a home in Largo. What a hot spot today. Around 3 a.m. on Sunday, disturbance between Catania Jordan, 46, and her longtime boyfriend. Yeah, the victim claimed that the two had been arguing about Jordan smoking crack when she began yelling at him and demanding him to perform oral sex.
Put that crack pipe down.
When he refused, she began hitting and scratching him, giving him several small lacerations. Oh, my God. So, Florida woman arrested. What a lovely mugshot of this lovely lady.
Yeah, the guy couldn't take a break from the crack to please his old lady.
Oh, my God. All right. I've got like 12 other morons in the news, but we'll get to those tomorrow. Go Rays tonight. The Rays can finish it. They should have finished it last night. They can finish it tonight and do it in 5 games, and then the Rays are off to the World Series. Game time, 5:07. I think we all agree, go Rays tonight.
Go Rays.
Yep, and see if they can put the Astros to bed. 9:51, have a great day, folks. Please let everyone you know that please tell everyone you know and let them know that the MJ Morning Show is back. Froggy Fester, me, MJ, and Roxanne, the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. We'll be right back.